Okay, so we're in the middle of, or we're starting now with the actual tefillah of Kabbalat Shabbat. We were dealing with, last week we dealt with the concept of Kabbalat Shabbos. And now we'll go through each paragraph as we, every week we'll do another parak of Tehillim, or another chapter, another capital of Tehillim. The way it works for the davening on Friday night is that it starts with Tehillim Tzadihei, 95, and it goes in order. For the most part, it goes in order. It goes 95, 96, 97, 98, and it goes in order. And we have six paragraphs of Tehillim, and then the seventh one is the Lechadodi. So we have six, and then the seventh one is the Lechadodi. And the reason for that is because each one is supposed to represent a different day of the week. I don't know if the theme, I don't think the theme necessarily represents the day of Sunday. I don't think the first one represents Sunday, the second one represents Monday. It's possible, I just can't figure out if that's, if you have an explanation for how this represents Sunday, so then please share. But at least we have six paragraphs to show that we're leading up into Shabbos, that we have each day of the week, and then finally it leads up into Lechadodi. Lechadodi is then the seventh. It's the song, it's not a parak of Tehillim, but it leads up into Lechadodi, which is the seventh one, which represents Shabbos. So this is the first one, Tzadihei is the first one, and also in Tehillim itself, Tzadihei 95, chapter 95, is also an opening. It's the beginning of a new set of Tehillim. So this is really the introduction, and this is the opening of that part of Tehillim, and also for this part of Kabbalah Shabbos, that this is the opening to Kabbalah Shabbos, and we'll go through it. The end, which is the part that we generally sing in shul, if you go through it, it's pretty strange why that's the part that we sing. The reason why we sing that is because it's the end. The chazan always repeats the end of the paragraph, but really the end of the paragraph has more to do with the fact that we're not following the ways of Hashem, and the beginning is a lot nicer and beautiful about connecting towards Hashem, connecting towards God. So we'll go through it. Pasuk by pasuk. So l'chu niranana l'Hashem nariya l'tzur yishenu. We should go out, niranana l'Hashem. We should go out and sing to Hashem, nariya l'tzur yishenu. We should, nariya comes from the language of trua. Cool. Trua. So it's like shouting, a form of a shofar blowing, that we should shout out l'tzur yishenu, to the tzur yishenu, the rock of our salvation. This is a form of having everyone come together. We should l'chu, we should go out together, and we should praise Hashem. So this is not the context. Moshe, just to explain first, Moshe is the one that wrote this. Usually David wrote most of Tehillim. This is written by Moshe, and this is a calling out. So in the context of a couple of Shabbos, this is a calling out to sing the praises of Hashem. Within Kabbalah Shabbos. So this is as an introduction, this is welcoming everybody to praise Hashem. In terms of the classical interpretation, some explain that this is referring to the times of Mashiach. This is referring to the days of Mashiach, where we are going to praise Hashem. And it's the language also of Nariya. Some of the classical commentators, the Radak, explains that it's a form of shouting out, but it's also a zrizos. It's a form of running to praise Hashem. That we're excited. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting mood of praise, of singing, of shouting, and of also rushing to go ahead and praise Hashem. It's an exciting moment. It's like we're getting into it. The Malbim explains. I quoted a lot from the Malbim last year. The Malbim explains that depending on the verse, depending on the pasuk, it's either referring to how the non-Jews understand Hashem and their relationship with Hashem, or it could be referring to the Jews' relationship with Hashem, the Jewish relationship with Hashem, which is a more intimate one. The non-Jews, the Malbim explains, has a relationship with Hashem where they see Hashem as the creator of the world and that he runs the world. For us, for the Jewish people, it's a more intimate relationship where Hashem is really hands-on in terms of the fact that he took us out of Egypt, and that he's very involved in the Jewish people from the time that he took us out of Egypt until today, that it's a more direct relationship. So he says that when we say Nariya Lutzur Yishenu, that this is a calling out Lutzur Yishenu to the rock of our salvation. So he says that's for us, that we have, God also protects the non-Jews as well, but we have that, we have a better understanding of that. We are able to appreciate that aspect of Hashem, where he's Lutzur Yishenu, where he is the rock of our salvation, that we're able to see Hashem as our savior. He's our rock, and he saves us. He redeems us from our exile. There was Amen. There was a. Did you have a question? I thought you raised your hand.
I wasn't quite sure for a moment which line you were referring to.
The first verse.
I figured it out.
What does Yeshua mean? What is that?
Yeshua. It's Yeshua that we're in.
And by the way, how do we know? What is our source for knowing that Moshe wrote this particular psalm?
So a couple of it says Tefillah LeMoshe.
Yeah.
It says one of the paragraphs that starts off by Tefillah LeMoshe. This is a Tefillah of Moshe, and then I think for the next 10 or 11 paragraphs, we know that Moshe wrote that next 10 or 11, and this is following that paragraph of Tefillah LeMoshe.
Doesn't Tefillah LeMoshe mean to Moshe?
Yeah, in that context, it means of. It means of also.
Okay.
Also means the tefillah of Moshe.
Okay.
From Moshe really or to Moshe?
How do we know? Just because it's written? Like, where is that written?
No, it says tefillah Moshe in the actual Tehillim. In the Tehillim it says tefillah Moshe.
So it's to Moshe.
But Chazal, our sages taught us that for the next bunch, it's referring to Moshe.
Okay.
The next pasuk, just last point on the first pasuk. There's a medrash that says that niranana, the rina, the song, is a specific type of song. Rina is also often, there's different languages you can use for song, for singing. There's zemer, there's rina, there's different shira, there's different ways you could refer to song, and the medrash tells us that rina is the song of Torah. That rina is the song of Torah. Although Torah is also referred to as a Shira, also the language of Shira is also used for Torah, but the Medrash here says that Rina, L'chu Niranana, Rina is referring to Torah, that this is a form of singing Hashem in terms of Torah. We know that for Shabbos, in the context of Shabbos, again, this parak was not written in the context of Shabbos. We turned it into having it as one of the prayers for Shabbos. But Shabbos, we always have to think about the theme of Shabbos and why we say this. But Shabbos is definitely a time which is designated for Torah. That there's an increase in our Torah learning on Shabbos itself. That it's a free time. We have more time to focus on our learning. So in the context of Shabbos, at least, it's a rina. It's a song of getting closer to Hashem. That's what Shabbos is about. It's about having that moment where we're able to connect to Hashem. We have more time. Freer time to then focus on Hashem.
We saw also with Rina Galum Matav, before you say Bekat Amazon.
Oh, and Shira Malat.
The Shiva Night Shira Tsunay in Kokhani, Lushana Rina.
Lushana Rina. It says it there also, yeah.
So when do you say that?
That's what we sing before benching.
Before benching,
we say that. On certain days. Okay, so let's move on to the second pasuk. Nikadma panav b'toda b'zmiros nariya lo. Nikadma panav, we should go in front of him. Let us come into b'fanav, to his face, to his presence, b'soda, with praise. B'zmiros nariya lo. So again, he uses the language of shouting, and that we're going to shout to Hashem through zemer, through song. So the language here for song is different, if you notice.
Yeah.
Here it's the language of zemer, of singing. And earlier in the first verse, it was referring to rina. So the different terms, it's just referring to different types of singing. That there's where it's an exciting time of singing towards Hashem, that we will have different types of song, different types of singing. We have both the Zemer and Rina.
Can I make a comment about it?
Go for it.
From the Kabbalah.
You speak louder.
I'll talk to everybody.
Okay, from the Zohar, is what the connection between the word. There is Zemer, which is song, and there is. What is. Zemer means.
To cut off
branches. Zemer means to sing, and also to cut. Shears with mizmor, shear, okay. What's the connection between
it's
them?
To cut the branches.
The connection is that when you read the mizmorei tehillim, you cut all the unclean sources in this world.
Okay, I like that.
And that's zemar. That's zemer.
That's from the
That's zemer.
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 Yeah. We have a lot of cutting to do.
So we go towards Hashem b'toda b'soda with thanks to Hashem b'zmiros nariyalo, and we praise Hashem through shouting. I saw an explanation which says that toda means thanks. Toda means thanks, but it's also used in another context, toda.
Hoda, yeah, which means submission.
Well, there's also, well, hoda means to acknowledge, but in the base of Migdash, toda, there's a concept of a korban toda.
Right.
That we bring a korban toda, which is the same, it's the same idea of thanks, that sacrifice that we bring to the base of Migdash is specifically brought when we want to thank Hashem for something. When we want to thank Hashem, we bring the korban toda. We bring a very specific sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. And as we go through this, we'll see that there are different hints to the Beis HaMikdash, to the concept of the Beis HaMikdash within this song. And this is the first one. It says, Nekanma Panav B'toda. It's possible that it's saying that we reach Hashem to the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, there are those that say that this is referring to the times of Mashiach, the times that we have the Beis HaMikdash, when we will have the Beis HaMikdash. And so it's a time where we're able to enter into Hashem's courtyard and then praise Hashem in his courtyard. It's interesting that the one that originally wrote this is Moshe. Moshe was not able to experience, he wasn't even able to go into Israel, right? He wasn't able, which we'll see at the last few psukim, the last few verses discuss that, that he wasn't even able to go into Israel. So perhaps this is his desire to not just thank Hashem, but to thank Hashem in his land, in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, and also in the Beis HaMikdash, in Hashem's courtyard. And we'll see that there are two other references, I think, to the concept of the Beis HaMikdash within this kapitel, within this paragraph. And it's a focus on the Beis HaMikdash of entering into Hashem's courtyard, which fits very nicely with the concept of Shabbos. Right? Shabbos, we had a beautiful panel last week in Shari Tzedek. So one of the speakers spoke about the fact that Shabbos is holiness in time. What the Beis HaMikdash is in place, what the land of Israel and the Beis HaMikdash is in place, the holiness of place, so then Shabbos is in time. That Shabbos is a time of holiness. And so when we refer to the Beis HaMikdash here, so as we're saying Kabbalah Shabbos, so then for us, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but for us, we can refer to the holiness in terms of time. That when we sing to Hashem, when we give thanks to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, we could, for ourselves, we could have that experience in time over Shabbos. And so that's it's a nice introduction to Shabbos.
So there we sing Mizmorim, that's why it says Mizmor.
Well, then that's where we're singing, exactly. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, the third verse. Ki el gadol Hashem umelach gadol akel Elohim. Really, you could probably say Elohim there. It's not referring to Hashem. Ki el gadol Hashem. Hashem is gadol Hashem. So now it's explaining, what are we singing? What are we praising Hashem? So if the first two verses said the first two psukim said we're praising Hashem, that there's excitement, that we're coming out together to praise Hashem. Nekadma padav besoda is that we're actively going out to praise Hashem. Last week we pointed out that Kabbalah Shabbos is about being proactive and welcoming in Shabbos, as opposed to having Shabbos come to you. We go out towards Shabbos. And so this is also Nekadma Panav B'Soda. We're going out to greet Hashem. Why are we doing all this? So then, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3 says, Kikel Gadol Hashem. Hashem is the greatest power. Really, here it means power. It's referring to the greatest God, but in the context of this pasuk, of this verse, means he's the greatest power. Why? Umelach Gadol Al Kol Elohim. He is the greatest king over all other powers. Over here, Elohim is not referring to God, but it's referring to powers. And there's a discussion as to which type of powers is it referring to.
The word Elohim actually means El. El means power.
Power, yeah, it means power, exactly. And also in the first half of the pasuk, it also says, in terms of God, it uses the language of God, of Kel, of the power of God. So what does it mean that, which gods are we referring to here, that he's the king over the powers of Elohim? Which powers are we referring to? So this is a discussion amongst the commentators.
False gods?
So there is one explanation that it says it's referring to false gods, that he is higher than the false gods. The problem with that is that if they're false, then they're not gods.
Yeah.
And he's not greater than them. It's just that they don't exist.
Yeah.
But there are those that explain that it's referring to the false gods. What else could it be referring to? What other powers are there in the world?
Well, there's evil power. Are you referring to evil power?
Well, who controls the world?
Hashem
is on top of that. But who else is it? Who has kings? Excellent, kings. So another explanation is kings. Kings are the head of the country. So God is on top of them. So the way we perceive it, without looking at it from the lens of from a Jewish or from a religious perspective, so the ones that really run the world are the kings. The kings run the country. The ones that are on top, they rule the world. And the pasuk is telling us that we're praising Hashem, that the truth is that even though that's how we view the world without looking at it from a religious perspective, but God really runs the world. God is the one that rules over them. Another explanation is that it's referring to the forces of the world, just the natural forces of the world, that Hashem is in charge of and controls the forces of the world, and he has the ability to create miracles, and that even though Hashem lets the world run based on nature, but he at times he's able to override, or he chooses to override nature.
The gematria of Elohim is Hateva, right? Elohim is Hateva.
The gematria of Elohim?
The gematria.
Hateva?
Equivalent, yeah, in numbers. So Yotke, Vavke is superior than Hateva, which is the Elohim.
It's not the same gematria. I don't think it's the same gematria.
Hateva, yeah. Elohim is Hateva.
How do you get there? Laman and Kuf is already 130. Hateva is not...
Elohim be Elohim.
Yeah, it is Hateva.
Okay. Dalet.
Ayin is 70 already.
I know, but Lamed and Kuf and Mem is way above that.
Okay, you calculate it.
Okay, we'll do it later. Dalet. Verse 4. Asher biyadom. So we're continuing. What are we praising Hashem? So this is a continuation of what we're praising Hashem. Dalet. Asher biyadom mechrei aretz. So afos harim lo. So asher biyado, in his hands, what is in God in control of? Mechgre aretz, the depth of the earth, what's beneath, what's under the ground. V'so afos harim lo, and also what's on high, the top of the mountain. Hashem in his hands has both what's under the ground and also what's on high, on the topest point, on the peak of the mountain. Hashem is in control of both. And again, this is the Malbim explains that this is something that only the Jewish people will experience, that fact that Hashem is able to have complete control over everything. That's something that we're able to experience. Definitely in the times of Mashiach we'll be able to experience it, but the fact that Hashem is in control over everything from going from what's under the ground to the highest of the mountains, the peak of the mountains, Hashem is in control of everything. So at some point, we'll be able to not just know it, but we'll be able to experience it in the times of Mashiach. There's an additional explanation of Mechrei Aretz, which is very appropriate for this week. Mechrei Aretz is not just what's under the ground, but what under the ground really represents what's hidden. What's hidden and the unknowns of the world. What's complicated and confusing. What's difficult to understand. Nachrei Eretz literally means what's under the ground, but it really represents a different idea, an additional idea, of the fact that Hashem is in control of that which is hidden and that which is confusing and hard to understand. And that happens very often or at times in life where we have confusing darkness periods in our lives. And as a community, as a Jewish community, we could have periods where we don't understand how things could happen. So then we have to, even though it's difficult for us to understand, in the back of our minds, we have to know that at some point in time, Hashem is in control of the world and Hashem has a purpose for these things. We don't understand it, and we are not necessarily supposed to feel that we understand it, which is why we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. When a person passes away, we don't say HaTov HaMeitiv, that this is for the good. Even though Hashem is in control of the world, ultimately it is for the good, but that's not what we say because we're human and that's not what we feel and that's not how we're supposed to feel. We're just supposed to say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, that Hashem is the true judge. And that's what is expressed here in the fourth, in Pasuk Dalet, in verse 4, that it's Mechrei Aretz, that Hashem is still Biyado, everything, even that which we don't understand, Hashem is in control of.
Hashem is delves into our heart and into our kidneys.
Into our kidneys, yeah.
Our desire.
Exactly.
You said it's going to be different in the time of Mashiach. You mean, how is it going to be different? That we're not going to feel the darkness as much?
Well, we say that in times of Mashiach, Hashem will reveal to us what happened over the course of history and why things happened. Mm-hmm. So that will happen during the times of Mashiach. And so during the times of Mashiach, we'll have a better understanding of why things took place.
And then we won't experience the same, like you were saying, the confusing and difficult times that we experience now. Like it won't be the same because we'll have that.
We'll have that knowledge, that understanding of why things happened. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Right now, all we can say is it's good and for good.
Yeah. But again, we could say it, but it's to experience it and to feel it is. It's very different, and we're not necessarily supposed to feel it. And we do have down times. It's not something which is a bad thing. We're able to at times feel distant from Hashem. In the back of our minds, we still have to understand that Hashem is in control of it. But to have natural feelings is normal and appropriate.
A little reflection.
What?
A little reflection when you feel a little different.
Yeah.
Stopping to reflect.
And to reflect on it for sure. Pasuk Hey, Asher lo hayam v'hu asahu v'yabeshes yadav yatzaru. So then again, this is a continuation of what Hashem has control over. He has control over everything, the oceans and the land. He has control over all of it, and the oceans of the land. Besides, for saying that he has, it's referring to the fact that he has control over what's down below and what's on top and what's from right to left. Basically, he has control of all directions of the world. The previous verse, the previous pasuk said that he's in control of what's up and down, and this pasuk is telling us that he has control over what's from right to left, from the land and the sea. Pasuk Vav, and this pasuk is now, I think, is the climax of this perek. Bo nishtachave v'nichra'a nivracha lefnei Hashem osenu. So we just explained, we're going to sing, we're going to get very excited over Hashem. That's what the first two psukim said. Then the next three psukim described why. Why are we so excited? It's because Hashem is in control of the world. We're being protected by Hashem. Hashem cares about us. Hashem is in control, so therefore we're gonna sing and dance. And then in Pasuk Vav it says, Bo nishtachave. What's our reaction to that? We're going to bow down. Nishtachave. In fact, it uses three different words to express bowing. Nishtachave, which is a full form of bowing. Nichra'a is also a language of bowing down, to kneel. And then nivracha is also a form of kneeling as well. It's to kneel down lifnei Hashem osenu, in front of Hashem who created us. And so our reaction towards all this is to go ahead and to bow down
to Baruch Hashem.
Towards Hashem.
Okay.
So why? What's the idea of Hishtachavaya? What's the concept of bowing down? So if you to skip to the second source, I apologize, I don't have the English translated on the second source.
Oh.
I usually do, but it's been a busier week than most, so I apologize.
No apology needed.
Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this is in source 2, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Hakol, everything is b'schus hishtachavaya. Everything comes out of a merit from bowing down.
Where are you?
I'm right in the there. Second source, yeah, right there.
Right here.
The very beginning of the second source. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this is a medrash. Hakol b'schus hishtachavaya. Everything is a merit from bowing down. And it goes through a few examples. V'avram l'chazar mehar ha-maria b'shalom ela b'schus hishtachavaya. As it says, v'nishtachave b'nashuva aleichem. Avram didn't return from Har HaMoria out of peace, meaning it's referring to the Akedah, the last week's Parsha, from the Akedah where he was told to slaughter his own child, and he didn't in the end. But he only came out of it through peace because of the fact that he bowed down towards Hashem. It also says, Yisrael lo nigalu ela b'schus hishtachavaya. The Jewish people are only redeemed because of their hishtachavaya. They're bowing down. They bow down. I'm skipping the proofs because of time. HaTorah lo nitna ela b'schus hishtachavaya. The Torah was only given as of a merit for the fact that we bow down to Hashem. Chana lo nifkada ela b'schus hishtachavaya. I skipped a little bit. The Chana was only had the ability to have a child because she bowed down towards Hashem. Hagaluyos einan miskansos ela b'schus hishtachavaya. I'm in the second to last line. We're not going to be redeemed as a people to have kibbutz galuyos, that we'll gather together as a nation from the four corners of the world. That will also only happen once we out of a merit of hishtachavaya. And if you turn the page,
you mean only if we bow down?
It says if we bow down, as it's a merit from bowing down, from bowing down. And then Beis Hamikdash lo nivne ela b'schus hishtachavaya. The Beis Hamikdash will only be rebuilt out of a merit from bowing down. And then the last one is, and this is the second last line on the second page, Hamesim einan chayin ela b'schus hishtachavaya. And Tchiyas Hamesim, the of the dead will only happen through bowing down. That sounds pretty important, to bow down. Basically, everything that happens comes from bowing down.
But is it literally bowing down, or is
So that's the question. So what does bowing down represent?
Yeah,
if it's literally bowing down, so some of us have difficulty bowing down.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to bow down? What does bowing down represent? What does it really represent?
A true
submission.
Submission and a true acceptance of God.
And true acceptance of God, exactly. It's about submission and true acceptance of God. Some of the commentators, I wasn't able to put it down, but some of the commentators explain that bowing down also represents the similarity to a dog's loyalty to its owner. That the dog has such loyalty to its owner. And that's also what we're supposed to and respect and love towards its owner, and that's what we're supposed to feel when we do hishtachavaya, when we bow down. That's what it's supposed to represent, the concept of total acceptance and completely
kavod.
And kavod and honoring Hashem. That all happens, everything that happens, shalom, peace, everything that was discussed, redemption. Everything that happens is because we then become submissive towards Hashem. That Hashem, we accept the fact that we're under the rulership of Hashem, and that's really that's the ultimate form of acceptance. What's interesting is that if you go to shul on Friday night, so some have the practice to when they don't just turn around. Last week we discussed turning around, the concept of turning around is to greet Shabbos. But in addition to turning around, some have the practice of not doing a full...
To greet the challah.
To greet the Kala. That's what we discussed last
bride.
Week. That's what we discussed last
bride
week.
Bride and the queen.
A bride and the queen, yeah. But you also, you bow down a little bit. Somehow the practice of also bowing down a little bit. The simple explanation is it's just that's a form of greeting. That bowing down is a form of greeting. But another explanation is this form of hishtachavaya, that it's not just greeting, but it's really a form of bowing down, that we're bowing down to submission towards Hashem. And that would be an additional explanation. And I think that's really the climax, that we're singing, and ultimately we get to this level where we're able to bow down towards Hashem.
And you'll go back?
Now I'm going back to page one. We're continuing, turn around. We're continuing here. Yeah, here. We're here. So let's continue on to verse 7.
We were there.
Verse 7, Pasuk Zion. We're continuing on with the Tehillim.
Can I just make a comment about Nevacha? The word Baruch, it comes from the word Betresh Chav, which is, Berkat Nevarech Ata Gefen. That means
you to take lower, the Gefen, to lower.
You take the
grapevine.
The grapevine.
Grapevine. And you plant it this way, and then again this way, it multiplies. And then Berech means knee, and the camel goes down. Is he the verb is that he barich berkaim, okay? So that means that it means hamshacha. That means bringing down from up down. So that's why we say baruch ata, right? We bring down from the above down the blessings or whatever.
Right, we bring the blessings down. Yeah. Down. Pasuk Zayin, Kihu Elokeinu v'anachnu am mar yeso v'tzon yado hayom im b'kolo tishmov. We bow down, and this is an extension of bowing down. This is what we do when we bow down. We say that Hashem is our God, and we are His flock, which we find that also found on the Yom Narayim, on the high holidays, we have similar language. And v'tzon yado, and we're basically His flock. He cares for us like a shepherd cares for his flock, hayom, and then it says im v'kolo tishmo, which is an added phrase here. It says that he's going to care for us, but then it says im v'kolo tishmo, if we listen to him. It adds that if we listen to him, so then Hashem is going to care for us in a very deep way. So I'm going to get back to that phrase in a minute, that added phrase of im v'kolo tishmo. That phrase, I believe that phrase is also used in the context, I believe it's the Gemara that says that it's in the context of Shabbos, that if we listen to Hashem, if we all keep Shabbos, one Shabbos, the Gemara says that Mashiach will come. That's what the Gemara says, if we all keep one Shabbos, if the entire Jewish people keep one Shabbos, so then Mashiach will come. And so it's in it comes from this verse of Im b'kolo tishmo, that if we listen to Hashem, so then Hashem will bring Mashiach. But I'll get back to that in a minute. The rest, 8 through 11, is really the second half of this kapitel. The first half is 1 through 7, verses 1 through 7. The second half is 8 through 11, Ches to Yud Aleph. And this is all about what happened in the Midbar. Again, this is Moshe talking about what happened in the desert and the fact that we were not able to enter into the land of Israel. The generation that left Egypt was, as a punishment, was not able to enter into the land of Israel because they were stubborn and they didn't listen to Hashem. 8 through 11 is just repeating the fact that don't be like that generation, that they didn't listen to Hashem. It's basically an extension of this phrase of im b'kolo tishmo, that you have to listen to Hashem, and don't be like those that do not listen to Hashem. Ches says, al takshu levavchem, don't make your hearts hard, kimiriva, kiyomasa b'midbar. Don't make your heart. Don't be stubborn, as in Yimei Meriva, when we rebelled against Hashem. And then, just as a continuation, Tess says, "Asher Nisuni Avosechem Bechanuni Gam Ro'u Fali." Your forefathers, they tested you, even though they saw my works. They saw me. They saw open miracles when they left Egypt, and they saw Matan Torah. They saw the giving of the Torah. They saw everything. They saw all of my work, and yet they still tested me. And this is Pasuk Yud, Arbaim Shana Akut Bedor, Ba'omar Am To'e Liv Avheim, Veheim Lo Yadu Derachai. For 40 years, they provoked me. They provoked Hashem. And Hashem said that they, Am To'e Liv Avheim, they acted as if they didn't know my ways. And I showed them who I was, more than any other generation. and but they didn't act in my ways. They were constantly rebelling against me. Asher nishpati v'yapi im yivon el menuchasi. And therefore, Asher nishpati v'yapi, I swore in anger, says Hashem. I swore in anger that I will not bring them to menuchasi, to my menucha. What's my menucha referring to?
The land of Israel.
The land of Israel, the base of Mikdash. That I didn't bring them into the land of Israel, and I didn't give them the base of Mikdash. It was deserving of other generations. So this is really an extension of im bikolo tishmo, that if you listen to my voice. And it's saying that if you don't listen to me, so then you won't reach that menucha. And menucha also, in our context, refers to Shabbos. Shabbos is referred to as Shabbos menucha, Shabbos as the day of rest. And it's the same idea. That's what the Gemara was saying, that if you follow my ways on Shabbos, if you have that menucha, so then it will bring Mashiach. Now we sing this. This is the part that we sing, which is pretty strange, that we sing this. Oh, how great it is that they didn't follow in your ways, and that you promised that you won't bring them into the land of Israel. This is amazing, right?
Shabbat is also like Olam Haba.
It's like Olam Haba, exactly. It's Mein Olam Haba. So just to give a partial explanation, the real reason why we sing this is because it's just the end of the paragraph, and that's what the Chazan sings. The Chazan sings always the end of the paragraph. But maybe, perhaps, to give some explanation to this, which will perhaps provide an ability to sing for these words, is that the concept of im bikolo tishmo, bless you, of following the ways of Hashem, is that Hashem will care for us, but we have to understand that this is a relationship with Hashem. This is a relationship just like any other relationship. Every relationship that we have, the more that we're involved in the relationship, so then the stronger it is, and the more that we're committed towards that relationship, so then the more serious of a relationship it is. And so Hashem does ask us to follow in His ways. And if we didn't follow in His ways, so then it's just Hashem, to have that one-way relationship, it'll be very, very different. We won't be able to have that type of one-way relationship. And so that's what Hashem is telling us, that if we don't follow, if we can't follow in the ways of Hashem, so then Hashem won't bring us to that, Hashem won't bring us to that menucha, to that resting place of Eretz Yisrael. And so perhaps when we sing that, so then at least we can think about the fact that we're working on our relationship, not just the fact that we're not following in Hashem's ways, or at least they didn't follow in Hashem's ways in the desert, but that the reason why they were punished for that is because it's a relationship, and we have to work on that relationship, and that's what a lot of Shabbos is about. Shabbos is about reflecting on our relationship with Hashem. And so this is a nice introduction towards the entire Kabbalah Shabbos service.
Thank you. Sorry.
Plus.
Rami, what does Masa mean?